Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and it's our prayer that you'll come to know the deep, deep love of God and that you'll grow and be transformed by the grace of Jesus Christ so that you can go in the power of the Holy Spirit to sow seeds of faith. We invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga at 9 a.m. If you can't join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., you can always go to our live stream. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com and click on the live stream, or just go to our YouTube channel at The Seed Christian Fellowship. Click on the worship services, click on the Sunday messages, or just click on the children's messages. We're going to be doing a series called The Great Hymns of Faith. I'm sure that if you're listening to this message, you probably have sung many of these songs. This song is called Great is Thy Faithfulness. I'm not going to sing it to you. I would encourage you to go and listen to it again. Pick out your favorite singer and listen and sing along. Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Do you believe that? Have you seen God's faithfulness? What is faith? What does it mean to be faithful? We hear those words, faith, faithful, faithfulness. Do you believe in God's faithfulness? Well, before we go to God's word for us today, let us come before the throne of our faithful God, who always remains faithful. Let us pray. Lord, God of all grace, glory, mercy, and love, come to us today where we are weak and weary. Strengthen us with your faithfulness. Let us experience your new mercies each and every morning. Amen. I'm going to do just a quick little overview on the book of Lamentations. The book of Lamentations is closely related to the events described in the book of Jeremiah. It is not so much a sequel to Jeremiah, however, as it is a response. It has five laments, L-A-M-E-N-T-S, that's a fancy word. A lament is a passionate expression of grief and sorrow. Each of the five chapters in Lamentations, well, it's a complete poem in itself. The book thus consists of five separate laments for a fallen city and a fallen people. What is important to know is that each lament was composed in a form of an alphabetic acrostic. In other words, each chapter is divided into 22 separate sections, one for each letter in the Hebrew alphabet. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. There's 22 verses in all five chapters. Each verse or set of verses begins with a successive letter of the alphabet. Lamentations thus describes the suffering of God's people from A to Z, or in Hebrew, from Aleph to Tav, from the beginning to the end. Lamentations was written by an eyewitness of the siege and fall of Jerusalem. Many scholars give Jeremiah credit as the writer. The book has some description of those terrible events. They're fresh and they're vivid. They bear all the marks of first-hand experiences. In all likelihood, Lamentations was written in or near the ruined city itself. If not by Jeremiah himself, then at least by one of his contemporaries, to set the stage so that we can enter the story. And I always say, enter into the story and let the story enter into you. Jerusalem has finally fallen around 587 BC. After a long siege, the city finally fell to King Nebuchadnezzar, and the best and the brightest citizens were deported to Babylon. Others were left in a destroyed and desolate city that had been ransacked and ruin. We're going to study Lamentations 3, 21 to 26, which are very familiar to many people. The writer says, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." Maybe Jeremiah, just thinking on this, maybe Jeremiah wants to remind the people that just as their ancestors had to rely on God's manna to descend new every morning, so even in a dark time of destruction, death, and desolation, God's mercies and compassions are new every morning. Think of that. Manna, mercies, new every morning. And we can only collect enough for the day because tomorrow they'll all begin again new. Also notice that the word for compassions is plural. That God, what the writer is trying to say is that God has many and varied ways to shower us with his compassions. The word for great love or steadfast love, depending on your translation, well, it's one of my favorite Hebrew words. It's hesed. H-E-S-E-D. I remember when my seminary Hebrew teacher first taught me that word, hesed, H-E-S-E-D, hesed. It's really a guttural word. It's like hesed. It means loyalty, devotion, fidelity, faithfulness, goodness, graciousness, and steadfast love. I drove 125 miles each way to go to seminary. I would try and memorize my Hebrew and Greek by listening to my own recordings on a cassette tape that I talked into. Now, friends, I'm telling you how old I am, and I'm telling you how old that technology was. I came home, and I went to the preschool where my wife was teaching. I wanted to tell her the meaning of hesed. When I tried to explain it, I began to cry. The thought of God having loyalty, devotion, fidelity, faithfulness, goodness, graciousness, and steadfast love for me, well, and for my wife, it was overwhelming. To be honest with you, it is still overwhelming. You know how your brain burns into itself precious memories? I remember well writing the Hebrew for my wife, Jacqueline, and trying to explain what it meant. I wrote it out in Hebrew. After I was done teaching to her the Hebrew, she went to teach her preschool students. I secretly went into her closet where she hung up her coat and purse each morning. I wanted her to know that God's hesed, H-E-S-E-D, was always with her and that his hesed was new every morning, just like manna. I pinned it on the wall in her closet. Pause and ponder that, hesed. The loyalty, the devotion, fidelity, faithfulness, goodness, graciousness, and steadfast love that God has for you, friends, it's new every morning. Friends, this hesed love, this steadfast love, is for you. It does not matter how far you've gone or how far you've fallen or where you're at. The prophet Jeremiah says, "Yet this I call to mind, therefore I have hope." To call to mind in Hebrew, it means to bring it back, to turn back, or to recall. I don't know where you're at. If you're driving, keep driving forward, but bring back what God's love is to you. The word for faithfulness is emunah, which can be translated with words like firmness, steadfastness, fidelity, faith, faithful, faithfully, faithfulness, honesty, responsibility, stability, steady, trust, and truth. And on the side note, the word emunah, faithfulness, well, it's used 127 times in the Old Testament. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy firmness. Great is thy steadfastness. Great is thy fidelity. Great is thy faithfulness. Responsibility, stability, steadfastness, steadiness, trust, truth. Enter into this. Enter into this story. The Greek word for faith, faithful or faithfulness, is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, and it's used over 80 times in the Bible. That means over 200 times the word faithfulness is used. The prophet Jeremiah declared that the Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassions, they never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. When the word pistis is used, it's most often translated faithfulness. It's the concept of living the truth of God's message in our lives. Let me say that again. It's the concept of living the truth of God's message in our lives. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. And if you need prayer or if you want to know more about faith, you can contact me at Pastor Dave at theseedchristianfellowship.com. And our prayer team will pray for you, and we would love to talk to you about faith. Faithfulness is the concept of living the truth of God's message in our life. It's putting God's story into you. It's committing ourselves to Jesus Christ and then letting the reality of our faith permeate our lives on a daily basis. It's being faithful. It's being loyal. It's being trustworthy to the life God has called you to. This aspect of faith speaks of fidelity. In a practical way, it's the quality of being true. It's the quality of being trustworthy. It's the quality of being reliable in our dealings with God and with others. It's the characteristic of doing what we know we should do, even when it's not easy. This is the trait that William Carey demonstrated when he asked his friend John Williams to pray for him after serving 8 years in India with, well, very few visible results. He needed encouragement, and he said, this is his prayer, quote, "Pray for us that we may be faithful to the end," end of quote. Pray for us that we may be faithful to the end. That's a good prayer. Right now, maybe you want to say that. Pray for me so that I may be faithful to the end. In the end, William Carey was a faithful witness in India and a great missionary. Great is thy faithfulness. In his book, When God Whispers Your Name, Max Lucado tells the story of a man by the name of John Eglin, who had never preached a sermon in his life before the Sunday morning it snowed and the pastor wasn't able to make it to the church. In fact, he was the only deacon to show up. He was not a preacher, but he was faithful, and that meant on that particular Sunday morning, he preached. God rewarded his faithfulness, and at the end of his hesitant sermon, one young man invited God into his heart. No one there could appreciate the significance of what had taken place that morning. The young man who accepted Christ that snowy Sunday morning was none other than Charles Haddon Spurgeon, C.H. Spurgeon, the man who is often called the Prince of Preachers. Think of that. The one forlorn deacon got the call to preach to the Prince of Preachers. Great is thy faithfulness. God blessed Spurgeon's preaching, and when he was less than 30 years old, he became the pastor of London's Metropolitan Tabernacle. His sermons were so powerful that although the building could hold only 5,000 people, the crowds who came to hear him were so thick that they would line up outside trying to hear his sermons. Spurgeon's amazing life of faith all started on a cold, snowy Sunday morning with the faithfulness of a deacon who had never preached a sermon. I think of the faithful people who stepped into the pulpit for me this past few weeks when I was traveling to bury my parents. We never know what God is doing with our faithfulness. Faithfulness means being committed to what God lets us have the chance to do, whether it looks like a big assignment or a small one. Lamentations 3:22-23, because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. These verses are familiar to many Christians because they form the basis for that well-known hymn by Thomas Chisholm. He lived from 1866 to 1960, and he wrote that song, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not, As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. The story of how Chisholm came to write this great hymn reveals a profound truth about God's faithfulness. Some great hymns are written in response to a dramatic spiritual experience, but this is not the case with Great is Thy Faithfulness. However, it was not the product of some great spiritual experience. It was a product of a lifetime of God's faithful care. Not long before his death, Chisholm wrote these words. This is a quote from his writing. He says, "My income has never been large at any time due to the impaired health in the early years, which has followed me on until now. But I must not fail to record here the unfailing faithfulness of a covenant-keeping God, and that he has given me many wonderful displays of his providing care, which have filled me with astonishing gratefulness." When the text of Chisholm's hymn is placed in its proper biblical context, the wonder of God's providing care becomes all the more apparent. It reminds us of the steadfast love, the great love of God, that God will never leave us, forsake us. What Jeremiah wrote were the words of a survivor, a man who had suffered great evil without abandoning his confidence in God's faithfulness. Indeed, it has become Jeremiah suffered so greatly that he was able to appreciate the little mercies of daily life. His experiences reveal so much truths. Jeremiah's sorrow had produced character. I think of how God is with us as we travel through that first year of my dad's passing. Every day my phone brings up a memory, and usually Dad's sweet million-dollar smile is in it. Not a word is said, but how I learn as sorrow walks with me, great is thy faithfulness. I'm reminded of Paul's words found in Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Wow. One tribe of Native Americans had a unique practice of training young braves, and on the night of a boy's 13th birthday, he was placed in a dense forest to spend the entire night alone. Until then, he had never been away from the security of his family and tribe. But on this night, he was blindfolded and taken miles away, and when he took off the blindfold, he was in the middle of a thick woods by himself all night long. Every time a twig snapped, he probably visualized a wild animal ready to pounce. Every time an animal howled, he imagined a wolf leaping out of the darkness. Every time the wind blew, he wondered what more sinister sound at mass. No doubt it was a terrifying night. After what seemed like an eternity, the first rays of sunlight entered into the interior of the forest. Looking around, the boy saw flowers, trees, and the outline of the path. Then, to his utter astonishment, he beheld the figure of a man standing just a few feet away, armed with a bow and arrow. It was the boy's father. He had been there all night watching over his son. Can you think of a better way for a child to learn how God allows us to face the tests of life? God is always present with us. God's presence is unseen, but it is more real than life itself. Friends, we have a heavenly Father who is always watching out for us. Great is thy faithfulness. Thomas Obadiah Chisholm, the author of this song, was born in a crude log cabin in Franklin, Kentucky. From this humble beginning and without the benefit of a high school education or advanced education, he somehow began his career as a school teacher at the age of 16 in the same country school where he had received his elementary training. And after accepting Christ as Savior, he became editor of the Pentecostal Herald and later was ordained as a Methodist minister. Throughout his long lifetime, Mr. Chisholm wrote more than 1,200 sacred poems, many of which have since become prominent hymn texts. Your so what for this week is to put yourself into God's story so that God's story may live in you. Get ready. You're going to be given daily opportunities to live God's chesed. Great is thy faithfulness. Enjoy, be blessed, and be a blessing. It's the only way to live. Ask Jeremiah. He says, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. For his mercies and compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And I say to myself, "The Lord is my portion. Therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to all those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord watch over you and fill you with mercies that are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.